Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You can now support Ghost Maps on Patreon. Simply look for We Are Huntu or click the link in the description. Ghost Maps is hosted on Libsyn. Get up to 2 months of free podcast hosting for your show from Libsyn with the promo code Huntu. Check out the description for more details.
Ghost Maps, Entry 67, Hougang, Singapore. I'm Teddy, and I've been collecting and sharing true crime stories for a couple of years now. And let me tell you, you'll meet some pretty interesting people if you do what I do long enough. And so, it was really only a matter of time before I met someone who collected ghost stories instead. I've known the collector for about a year. And in that time, he actually introduced me to some of his interviewees, a couple of former cops who were happy to share their own true crime stories. And that's why, when he asked me to fill in for him, I was like, yeah, sure. And the person I'm interviewing tonight is a guy named Ash. He was actually supposed to talk to the collector, so he's a little surprised when I greet him instead. He relaxes after we order our drinks at this Tiong Bahru coffee place. Ash is a middle-aged lawyer, a father of a boy and a girl, and a dedicated husband. His wife, Susan, was actually his secondary school girlfriend. And I tell him that's quite sweet and impressive. He agrees, of course. But he says that he can't believe that they've survived some of the things they've been through over the years. He stops himself and then says that he's jumping the gun just a little. So I turn on the recording app on my phone and I ask him to start from the beginning. It was 1999, and Ash's father had just died 2 years before. In Susan's home life, it wasn't great. He doesn't elaborate when I ask him what he means by not great. But he says that things were so bad for her that she had to move in with Ash and his mom. The three of them were living in Hougang at the time, in a maisonette on Street 51. Ash had a night shift job and his mom traveled for work quite a bit. So a lot of the time, Susan was home alone. For the first year after she moved in, nothing happened to Susan. She would spend nights just watching TV or reading. She didn't even really notice that she was alone at home. Until one night. It was around 10:30 when she was gripped with a strange feeling that she wasn't alone, that she was sharing the large flat with someone or something that didn't belong there. And whenever Ash came home, he had this habit of jangling his keys before unlocking the gate. From the window of her and Ash's second floor room, Susan, she could easily hear this. Around 11 p.m., that normally comforting noise interrupted that uneasy feeling. Ash was home. Earlier than usual, sure, but he was home. And whatever else she'd been feeling for the last half hour, at least her partner would be by her side now. She peeked out of the window, but Ash wasn't there. She crept down to the first floor, switching on all the lights she passed. No one. The hours dragged on, seemingly slower than they ever had before. Midnight. 1 a.m. 2. Ash didn't return, but that jangling continued all throughout. When he finally came back, Susan was in tears. As frightening and confusing as this was for Susan though, it was only just the beginning. Other strange occurrences started happening. At first, they would only happen when Susan was alone. But soon, Ash began to experience them too. The sound of keys jangling returned, now emanating from other rooms. On some nights, Ash and Susan would wake up to find that the kitchen's tap had been turned on. Things were moved around. Doors that were clearly shut would open on their own. And it all came to a head when Ash's mom returned from a business trip. Neither Ash nor Susan wanted to tell her what had been happening, and she would have been tired enough from traveling. There was no sense in worrying her. But the second night after she returned, Ash and Susan heard a scream coming from his mom's room. Ash raced up in a panic. When he opened the door, he found his mom on her knees, tearfully praying. It took her a while to regain her composure. And when she did, she told Ash that something had mumbled in her ear. She couldn't make out the words, but she could tell from its tone that whatever it was malicious. That was the last straw for Ash. He yelled at the entity. He told it that if it kept staying there, it needed to leave his family alone or he would chase it out himself. He didn't know how he would do it, but he knew in his heart that he absolutely would. Of course, aside from his neighbors coming over to calm him down, nothing happened. Not at that moment, anyway. Ash came home from work one night and almost immediately fell asleep on the bed next to Susan. Dead tired from his shift, he probably would have slept through the night. But something woke him up at around 3 a.m. Bleary-eyed, Ash saw the door of his wardrobe slowly open. The room was dark. The curtains were drawn. But even in that darkness, he could see a shadowy figure step out from the wardrobe. But he couldn't make out any features, except a pair of white eyes staring right at him. Ash wasn't scared though. If it was just him, maybe he might have been. But he could feel Susan breathing next to him, so he knew he had to be brave, if not for himself, then for her. He glared right back at the creature, until finally, it began to slowly melt into the floor, disappearing inch by inch, until it was completely gone. From that night on, nothing disturbed Ash and his family again. Ash tells me that even though things started to quiet down, they still sold the flat shortly after. And I asked him why. He says that they needed a fresh start, that the flat was haunted as much by memories as it was by entities. Him and Susan were married 5 years later, and I tell him that I'm glad that his story has a happy ending. It's something that I'm not used to. At least with spirits and creatures, there's still a chance that things can work out. With humans and true crime, that sadly almost never happens. This episode of Ghost Maps was guest narrated by me, Teddy, and the creator of the podcast, A Briefcase.
If you want to discover more of Southeast Asia's other side, subscribe now and follow us on social media. You can also be one of our supporters on Patreon. Look for We Are Huntu or click the links in the description. Ghost Maps is a Huntu production, created by Kyle Ong and Wayne Ray, with art direction by Jolene Lim, and recorded on Audio Technica Mix.
You can catch A Briefcase podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever else you listen to your podcasts. You can also find me on Instagram at A Briefcase Podcast or online at abriefcasepodcast.com. And do join us every week for another briefcase.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.